have now is our Q&A, and we're going to do this a little bit differently than before. But what I'm going to do is I have a particular question that has been asked me and sent to me from a 16-year-old individual in regards to gambling. He did not see how gambling was such a bad thing. And so what I would like for us to do, first and foremost, is for our students to be thinking about some questions that either, number one, you have, or number two, that you have heard that maybe you have struggled with or you have dealt with your contemporaries regarding the gambler or the idea of gambling. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. And while you are processing that, I would like each of these gentlemen to spend maybe just a section or two, just a minute or two, with the idea of the concept of gambling, and specifically to address the idea of the lottery itself and what makes the lottery gambling and sinful, if it is, according to our questioner, and why that is such a difficult item. And Brother Mary, we'll just start with you, and maybe 2 minutes.
In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, when a drop off Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 4, it's a terrible pun, but there's no higher stakes for gambling and your understanding of it because it's going to cost you your soul. Ephesians 5 and 4, it says, neither foolish, filthiness, nor foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, and this in Colossians 3, 5, who is an idolater. There's certain ways that have authority. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17, in order for us to be able to receive money. They are investment. We can see that principle in Matthew chapter 25. There are work by way of wages. We can see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We can also understand that there is gift. You can receive money by way of gift, and you can also receive money by way of inheritance. Luke chapter 12, verses number 13 through 15. And so those are the four authorized ways in order to be able to acquire money. Gambling is not authorized. Gambling, therefore, has no authority. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 5, that we are to let our conversation, our lifestyle, be without covetousness and be content with such things as we have. So if we want to acquire any wealth or any money, we have to go by the prescribed ways: investment, inheritance, work by way of wages, and also gift. Gambling does not constitute any of those by way of definition. Therefore, it is excluded by the authority of Jesus Christ. This constitutes the lottery. This constitutes jackpots. This constitutes everything. And I know I'm out of time, but the gambling that we saw in Judges chapter 14 with Samson, and we saw that that was activity in part that he engaged in according to the flesh. And no matter how strong he was on the battlefield in killing people, the vices, including gambling and including prostitution in women, were ultimately going to be his downfall. I'll turn it back over to my time. I'm arguing on all the 4 points I had, too. But I want to, he missed one. Me and Brother Weller was just talking about this. He missed Simon. If you found him, it's yours, right? I think I'm going to start on the 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 and 11 about working. The Bible talks about how if a man doesn't work, he don't eat. But it's the type of work that you do. I drive truck trailers. I drive big rigs. And I would not drive a truck for butt lots because of the sinful nature of delivering beer. So just because the Bible says if a man does not work, he doesn't eat, does not necessarily mean that you can go out and get any type of job. Drug dealing. No, we don't want drug dealers' money either. And also, if the woman is going out prostituting herself. You see, we had a young lady who used to worship with us at another congregation, Church of Christ, who had come off of the nightclub. And she told us that she wanted to put money in the collection tray. We told her we didn't want her money because it was money from harlotry. So just because you have a job does not mean that that's the type of job God wants you to have to appropriate the funds that he said that we must do. It has to be something of a moral standard. You have to work for something that is morality or morally right and not morally wrong. Certainly, when we consider the ideas of the lottery and also gambling, I think what comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9, and following, it says, "Or know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of sons of men, verse number 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor violators," here it is, "nor extortionists." Whenever we look at the design of the lottery and gambling in general, it is extortion. The very design of it is meant to the house, you know. The house always wins, and the main design is for those who play the game is to lose. And so, extortion is involved in, of course, going back to what Melvin and Mari said, the ideas of the biblical ways to ascertain money, the law of labor, the law of investment, the law of love. And so those aspects are going to be considered. Let's get this an extortion. We're taking advantage. I agree with that. I was just going to say that I love to fish, but I don't like to eat fish because I don't like the way it smells. It smells fishy. And here's what I'm trying to say. If you go fishing and you get fish out of your hands, and your hands smell like fish, like you eat a hamburger and smell like fish. So this is what they do to gambling. They do the lottery a lot. When you buy a lottery ticket, there's a reason you're doing it. Okay, you're doing it because you want the thrill of trying to make money quickly. It's not because you support education, right? If a person goes and they gamble, they're trying to take another person's money. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Gamblers try to do it to other people so they don't do it unto them. And it's the exact opposite of the golden rule. And so, you know, when I think about money, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 that it's a sin to love money. Some brethren think it's a sin to have money or not have money. My Bible in Proverbs 30 says, "Don't make me poor, lest I steal, or rich, lest I forget God." The Bible says the sin is loving money. The problem in Mark chapter 10 is they trusted in riches. Gambling, the lottery, things of this nature, involve items that promote the sin of covetousness and greed. And I have just very quickly, I have about 1 minute to you. We took 3 minutes now. Okay. Fine. Gambling, just realize this. Gambling, if you actually analyze it, it's chronic. It is mood altering. It's progressive in nature. Look at an article here by Brother Webster. Alan Webster has some great statistics on this stuff. It's unbelievable. 85% of U.S. adults have gambled. 85% have gambled. There are not millions, but tens of millions of pathological gamblers. In fact, he quoted one site that said that people are easier to get them off alcohol if they're addicted to alcohol than if they're addicted to gambling. It's a psychological addiction to this feeling of power and being brought under the power of that which you should not be brought in. The Bible should be not brought in the power of any. There's an addictive nature to gambling, and the statistics bear out the broken homes, the hardships. It's sad. If you go to Vegas, people go to Vegas, right? it melts this place on earth.
The follow-up question in regards to that, yes. Of my secular business, in terms of anything that I
received for personal love is gotten definitively by ill-gotten gains that I want to preclude myself completely from. Completely from it. So if the scholarship is offered, and I know that it's from people gambling, and the love of money is what pierces people, I want to preclude it and be able to seek a different avenue to be able to achieve my secular goals. I will say this to all of our panelists. You do not have to respond. Okay? Just a side note here. And not everyone has to answer every question. Okay? But you don't have any objection. Gambling, we didn't define it, but when you're getting into gambling, you're getting all sorts of games of chance versus skill. There are people who are paid to do things for skill. There are people playing a basketball tournament, NBA basketball tournament right now, they're paid millions of dollars. They're paid more money if they win versus if they lose, right? I don't consider that gambling to be involved in playing the NBA the finals, which is simply a broader scale of that question. I do see a difference in, you know, doing push-ups, as a friend's playing around, as opposed to, hey, let's bet $5 on this golf game. I have a problem with that because that would fall in the line with the principles of gambling. Also, I'd also say, well, because they're betting. You're saying if they do it in the form of a camera or something like that. That's an interesting concept. That's a good point. And so you would say, you're saying basically, in essence, a tournament. It's the same as a golf tournament. That's interesting. I haven't thought about that before. I always looked at it in the sense of if you're gambling. Yeah, I believe me, I don't play golf. I'm terrible. But look at rodeo. Rodeo is the same way, right? You know, if you rodeo and you pay a fee. But it goes back to me, you have to distinguish between skill and chance. And gambling is a game of chance, random chance, or it's a game of greed. For some people, even argue that based on poker, I guess, as well. I think so that's a skill set, too. But I think that's a whole environment of covetousness. This is actually really important, too, because didn't they just legalize sports betting? Which obviously is going to get back into gambling and covetousness. Well, Daniel may want to go first. He may just respond.
Okay. I'm going to be quick because we actually see this concept of prize in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I never knew this discussion with this scripture here. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. One receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. I don't believe that Paul is using an immoral principle to be able to communicate the spiritual point here. And so the difference to be able to distinguish, if we're betting on a golf swing, $5, that is gambling. Whereas you can be hired for the position of playing in the NBA and be receiving wages. And so there is a distinguishable point here when you're associating games of chance to a monetary outcome as opposed to wages. Now, if you get all together and say, we're going to put $200 in a pot and we're going to try to work for the purposes of $1,500, that's a distinguishable issue and something that we have to be very careful of by way of principle of covetousness. I'm going to go back and keep drilling Luke 16:8 as hard as I can. It's a shame that the world has a better idea of how to define these concepts and contours of gambling and the difference than actually the church. Now, we're going to make a little time.
Talking about covetousness, it's a person who desires to have more than what they want to have or what they're supposed to have. So So if a person is going in to get more than what they're supposed to get, a half, that's covetousness. If you're trying to gain more, because if you think about it, what's the main purpose of gambling? To get money. You see somebody else with something that you want, so most people go out and gamble to obtain more than what they have. And then they don't trust God. So they start going gambling, and it falls into a lot of other things. When you have a person that goes out and starts gambling, what other areas that they fall into? Adultery, fornication, all that other things, stealing. I know a person now who got himself caught up in gambling and stole a lot of people out of money for gambling. And I know him personally, and we talked about it. So gambling is dangerous because it leads to other sins and greater sins.
Just very quickly, I was going to say, you've got to be very careful, right? Because if you're involved, again, in a sport or something that involves, you said, strive for the prize, which I agree with that, that's biblical. But if you're doing games of chance or something that's creating that emotion of covetousness within you, then that's a problem, a lot of what the scriptures teach.
Yeah, and so to me, I can distinguish between that in my mind, but persons work through that on their own. And I think some of them really go crazy. I mean, you know, they'll say, like you said, they'll say, well, you can't even do the push-ups. That's not the same as going to the casinos, going to the boats, buying lottery tickets. Listen, you can ask people even in society, and they're going to tell you, they're going to look at lottery tickets, they're going to look at casinos, they're going to look at boats, they're going to look at Vegas. What do they call Vegas? Sin what? Sin City, okay? They refer to sin taxes. I mean, the world even knows there's a difference between gambling, casinos, lottery tickets, and people playing basketball to get a prize in a city tournament that's some trophy or something. Financially, when you lose the money that God has blessed you with some frivolous pursuit. And hope for lust was drowning them in destruction and perdition. If we're just engaging in competition and have to do five push, that's not the same hurtful lust for monetary purposes that destroys families, that gets into the gambling, and gets into the concupiscence. So again, we're using biblical principle here to be able to establish points, and I reserve the rest of it. There was a question I was posed, and I knew I could help me with this. Jimmy came to me and was not a Christian. But while he was in the world, he gambled, won, big. What do you do with that situation when you become a Christian? So he was in the world, not a Christian, somebody taught him. He won a lot of money while he was in the world. Now he's a Christian. What do you do with the money? Anybody? What do you do with the money? Can you keep it? Can you hide it? Here's the money, okay? Where's the money, okay? I don't think so. Anybody else? You become a Christian and learn better. You don't go out and gamble again and obtain more money. You do the best you can with the money you have now and not do that, make that mistake again by gambling. As much as you can, you restore and you do what you have to do to make something right. It's like, you take a man's wife, you've got to give her back. You can't keep her, right? Yeah, exactly. I know it. We only have a few minutes left, and we'll get back to that. But I want to do something on this. I want to talk about that raffle for a minute. A raffle is the same as lottery. Sometimes people say, I'll just donate them. I'll just give the money. You know, if maybe it's a school thing, they're raising money to do a raffle. And so you say, I'll just donate money. Well, I know the case where the lady donated the money. The people behind her back filled out the raffle card. She was an elder's wife. And now she's over the loudspeaker at the game, embarrassed her to death because she's like, I didn't sign up for that. She was trying to support the cause, so I guess you got to be real careful. Let me just say this real quick. This is interesting. A lot of gambling, a lot about lottery, a lot about raffles. This type of mindset. He said, here's an example. There was a sign at a food store that finally read this. They were in the area of a lot of gambling, and they said this. The sign read, "Don't gamble with food." Since the California State Lottery Program started in October, lottery program, we have sold in excess of $1 million worth of lottery tickets. Our food business during this period of time has declined the same amount. Morally, we feel it is wrong to offer our customers opportunity to gamble with their food dollars, and therefore we will no longer be selling California State Lottery tickets. Folks, you understand, this is a world establishment that they were like, these people are buying so many lottery tickets, our food sales have gone down the same amount, $1 million of sales. It just tells you the nature of what's happening in the lottery industry. And Christians should not be caught up. I guess, but if somebody gave me a lottery ticket, number one, they wouldn't give it to me. Number two, I'd throw it away. And I'm sure I can scratch it off just to take a peek. I'm going to cut that thing up, not even look at it. I don't care what it is. like at the senior day, senior night, things like that. Maybe when I was in high school, let me tell you something. Don't do it. Because I guarantee you, it creates the same feelings. It gets in the evil concupiscence you were speaking of. What you're doing, if you're not careful, you're creating an environment of fake gambling to prepare you for real gambling. That's what those things are designed to do, I'm just telling you. To Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus actually lived under a law that required a certain amount of restitution, and he is referencing that legal aspect of the law of Moses. I believe it's Leviticus 6 and Exodus 22 that speak to that. If I have taken something that belonged to you, there's a law of the fourth part, and if I take something that belongs to you, then I have a responsibility not just to the fifth part. I think if I have a responsibility, if I take $100 of yours, I have a responsibility to return $125 to you. It's a law of the fifth part. And I have to add to that because you have lost the opportunity to use that $100 for yourself. And so the legal aspect of what Zacchaeus is referring to is actually under the law of Moses. And I did forget one thing. This gentleman had his hand up before I said we were closing. So we'll take this as the final. Sometimes there'll be a person that maybe buys these lottery tickets as gifts for people in a sales situation. You know what happens. And so it's a sales meeting, and the person is not a member of the church, and then somebody answers a question, or they're trying to get people motivated, and they pull out and hand you a lottery ticket, right? And so maybe your aunt at Christmas buys lottery tickets for all the cousins, and all of a sudden you open your present, and you got a lottery ticket there. Well, Don't scratch that thing off. And also, don't hand it. Well, I don't want them. You take it. Don't do that either. Just get rid of it. I mean, don't do that. Don't promote that. So, does that help answer what you're speaking on or not?